Okay, wait, let me record this. Record on this computer. Yeah, okay. Shalom, everybody. We're going to learn something now for Rosh Hashanah, Rav Kook's take on the Shofarot. This is from Ma'amarei Ha'Re'iyah, which is a unique book. Rav Elisha Aviner gathered together a lot of articles that Rav Kook wrote in his time. Then he published in a lot of journals, and they basically got lost. And now they're back available. And some of the stuff is, it's written there, it was said ba'al peh, it was said orally. And this happened to be taken, written down by Rav Professor Meir Maidan. He's the father of Rav Yaakov Maidan. And he himself was, he was in the underground. He was one, he was the head of the Lehi in Yerushalayim. And afterwards, he was one of the editors of the Ben Yehuda Dictionary and the Academia Lashon. He was a very famous linguist. And apparently, he was at this shiur. This was in 1930, Rosh Hashanah, 1935. He published it, I'm sorry, in 45. And this is from Rosh Hashanah, 1933. And you'll see why the date is very significant. I'll already foreshadow that this is right after Hitler came to power. Hitler came to power in 32. I don't know how it works with Rosh Hashanah, but it is that time. And Rav Kook writes as follows. He starts out, Vayaba yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, uvau ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur v'anidachim be'eretz Mitzrayim v'ishtachvu I apologize for not going into the share screen. Here, I'll go for those who are on Zoom. Okay. Rav Kook starts out with a pasuk that we say in Shofarot, in Rosh Hashanah, where it says, pasuk in Isaiah, Yeshayahu 27, that on that day, the day of redemption, Yitaka b'shofar gadol, the large shofar, the big shofar will be blown. And that's the question Rav Kook is going to deal with. What is a big shofar? Right? Since when is the size of a shofar significant? Even the Temanim, who buy these big misul salim, these, curly shofarot, they don't say that there's anything significant about the size of the shofar, and that's why it's interesting that Rav Kook talks about the size. He points out that the pasuk is talking about the size of the shofar. Blow the big shofar for our redemption. Uvau ha'ovdim be'eretz Ashur, and those who are lost in the land of Ashur, literally Assyria, vanidachim, those who were rejected be'eretz Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, v'yishtachvu l'Hashem b'Arach Kodesh b'Yerushalayim, and they will all bow down to God on the mountain, holy mountain in Yerushalayim. Now, it's not the topic of this article, but Rav Kook has a very beautiful explanation elsewhere of this pasuk. This Rav Tziuda used to mention a lot, that he asks also a very good commentary question. Why does it just say the Jews are going to come from Assyria and Egypt? Right, there are Jews in Uruguay, there are Jews in England, there are Jews in America, all the Jews are supposed to come from the four corners of the earth. Now, maybe the literal meaning is that Egypt is in the south and Assyria is in the north. So I guess from the north and from the south, that's the literal meaning. But Rav Kook points out that Ashur literally means, with an aleph, happy. Like Ashreyot Vevitech, the lands of happiness. And it's interesting that those who are in the lands of happiness, they are called Ovdim Be'eretz Ashur. They get lost. Those are the Galuyot, Rav Kook explains, where Jews assimilate. And on the other hand, the second type of exile is the Nidachim Be'eretz Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, from the word Meitzar, from the word Tsaros, difficulties. And there, Rav Kook is Midayek, that it says Nidachim. They are rejected. They're outcasts. So there are two types of exiles where the Jews are. Jews are always either suffering from anti-Semitism or suffering from assimilation. And we don't have to give examples. Everybody knows. That's, you know, you got the Soviet Union on the one hand, and you got America on the other hand, and Germany, etc., etc. So Rav Kook is saying that on the day of the ingathering of the exiles, all the exilers are going to come, also from the type of exiles where we have the challenge of assimilation, also from the exiles where we have the challenge of anti-Semitism, and everyone's going to come back. We hope, because we know that there is man's free will, and there are also verses that say, "Uveti etchem echad mi'ir u'shnayim min mishpacha veveti etchem tzion." That's, there's only, the Jews are going to come back to Israel, just one from a city, and two from a family. And unfortunately, we have seen that that has also come true. So, to a certain extent, it depends on us. Anyway, so Rav Kook then brings the second pasuk. Elokeinu veloke avotenu, here also we're quoting from the Machzor from Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, Shofarot tika b'shofar gadol lecherotenu. Again, we know that the source of this prayer, that Hashem should blow the big shofar, the pasuk is what we just read in Yeshayahu. But the question is, why? That it's so significant that Yeshayahu talks about it, that the davening, Anshei Knesset HaGedola put it in the Sidur. Why? Rav Kook says as follows. We are in paragraph Bet. Al shofar gadol shel ge'ula nivei hanavi. Ulitkiat shofar gadol anu mitpalalim. Yeshayahu prophesized about the big shofar. And we pray, like we just read, we pray for that big shofar. Gadol davka. Davka, a big shofar. Ki madregot shonot yesh b'shofar shel ge'ula. Already we foreshadowed Rav Kook's question. The question is, since when does it make a difference, the size of the shofar? Why a big shofar? Rav Kook is telling us that there are three levels of shofar. Yesh shofar gadol, shofar benoni, ragil, v'yesh shofar katan. There is the big shofar, the medium shofar, and the small shofar. V'shofaro shel Mashiach nimshal el shofar kipshuto. When we talk about blowing the shofar of redemption of Mashiach, when you say the word shofar, you can't avoid thinking of the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. That's the shofar mita oraita from the Torah. El shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. So apparently there is some kind of parallel between the three types of shofar in Rosh Hashanah and three types of shofar in the period of the ingathering of the exiles. Maybe I'll just foreshadow a drop. What we're going to learn tonight is a classic example of where Rav Kook unites, as we've seen many times. He's always harmonizing. He's harmonizing the hashkafa and the halacha very, very beautifully. I'll point out parenthetically that his son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda, didn't like doing that. He said hashkafa is hashkafa and halacha is halacha. But Rav Tzvi Yehuda was a great educational, and I have no doubt he knew very well that his father does very often finds the symbolic or spiritual meaning inside the halacha. And despite what Rav Tzvi Yehuda said, today is a good example of how Rav Kook unites the opposites. He unites the halacha and the philosophy. So Rav Kook continues, Halacha kovat b'shofar shrosh hashanah shalosh dargot. There are three levels of a shofar in terms of kashrut on Rosh Hashanah. Aleph, shofar shel Rosh Hashanah mitzvato b'shel ayil. The Shulchan Aruch says that the best type of shofar is to blow a ram's horn in memory of the Akedat Yitzchak, of Isaac. There are different other symbols, but that's the best shofar. That's lichatchila, and that's what we all do. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have no shortage of shofarot. You go into a store, you ask for a shofar, that's what they give you, the best type of shofar, a ram's horn. Bet, the second level, bidiavad kol ha-shofarot kshirim. The Shulchan Aruch adds that the second level, the medium shofar, is any kind of kosher animal. Right? There's a problem with a cow because ein katigur nase sanigur, right? Because of the cheta egel, because of the sin of the golden calf. But aside from, right, you can blow a goat, you can blow a deer, you can blow a giraffe. Anything that, what?
Giraffe.
Giraffe, right? So that is the second level. The third level, shofar mi behemat tmeya, a non-kosher animal. Say a pig's horn. Say somebody is chas v'shalom in Siberia, doesn't have a kosher shofar, there's no store that he can go and buy it, you can blow a pig's horn. V'chein shofar mi behemot avodah zarah shel goy, pasul. Right? Say a non-Jew took a ram, made it into an idol, bowed down to that ram, then you're not supposed to take his horn to make it into a shofar. Aval in takabo yatsa yidei chovato b'dieved. You can blow that avodah zarah horn, the pig horn. Umutar litko bechol shofar shehu im en shofar kasher. If there's no kosher shofar, the first level or the second level, so you blow the third level. Ubilvad shelo yivarech alav. But you're not allowed to make a bracha on the non-kosher animal. That's b'dieved if we have no choice. Continues Rav Kook, paragraph Gimel. V'dargot ele hamnuyot b'halacha b'shofar shel Rosh Hashanah makbilot. These three levels, halachic levels, have their parallel, three parallels, hen l'dargot b'shofar shel geula, regarding the shofar that we hope to blow on the redemption. Tika b'shofar gadol. We pray for the gadol, for the big shofar, but nevertheless, there are two other secondary levels. Ma'ula mito shel devar shofar shel geula. What, in fact, is the shofar of redemption? B'shem shofar shel Mashiach, anu mitkavnim litorerut uledechifa agoremet letchiato ulegeulato shel Am Yisrael. When we talk about blowing the shofar of redemption, we're talking about calling the Jews to come back to the land of Israel, to Mizarez, to hasten the redemption. Hitorerut zo yatkia hamekabetzet et ovdim vanidachim vameviatam la'ara kodesh b'Yerushalayim. Like we said before, this is what brings them to Aliyah, to Zion. Hayo haita b'Yisrael b'zmanim shonim v'yeshna gam kayom. Also throughout history, and also today, there are chalakim uveyechidim Yisrael hitorerut uratzon shemekoram b'kedusha be'emuna hachazaka b'Hashem u'betorah. There are those whose motivation to come on Aliyah to the land of Israel is the best motivation. I'll already foreshadow a drop. Rav Kook is saying this is the shofar gadol that we pray for. That people should come back to the land of Israel out of the ideal. B'kdushat Yisrael, because of the holiness of the Jewish people, utu'udato, and we have a eternal mission to be a light to the nations, right? This is an addition, obviously, to making Aliyah. There is a mitzvah to make Aliyah. And Chazal say that this mitzvah is equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. And in addition, living in Israel enables you to do a lot of more mitzvot. You know, most of the mitzvot can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Kook adds that coming on Aliyah also is part of the Geula, right? An essential part of the Geula process. And also, this is where we can set up a state of Israel to be a light on the nations. The term Orla Goyim appears just twice. I checked it up once. Both of them are in Isaiah, and both of them are in the context of after we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we set up an ideal Jewish state that the Goyim will learn from. I remember as a kid they used to tell us, you know, to be careful not to make a chilul Hashem, and we're supposed to be a light to the nations. And that is true. But if you look in the Tanakh, being in exile is a chilul Hashem. As Yechezkel says, what God can't redeem his people. Right? Hashem has to bring us back to Israel for his sake. So there's also the aspect of geula and the holiness of the land of Israel. Another reason of a religious Zionism, all these are reasons of a religious Zionism, is to be with the Shekhinah, to be in the holy place. The Chatam Sofer says, that's how he explains why the Rambam doesn't list it as one of the 613 mitzvot. He says, you don't need a mitzvah to tell a Jew to live in holiness. Of course, you want it, and we should live in holiness, okay? So all of these are reasons of religious Zionism to listen to the big shofar. Uberatzon lekayem et ratzon Hashem shigulat Yisrael hashleima, and to fulfill the will of God to bring the geula, the full geula, zeu hashofar hagadol v'hameula. This is the best kind of shofar. This is the ram's horn. This is the shofar of Kibbutz Galiot. Just remember, we're talking about a parallel, right? That there are three levels of shofar, paralleling to three levels of halacha, paralleling to three levels of coming back to Israel. Okay, these are, if I would have a tavla, a chart, that's how I would draw it. Ratzon, zewa shofar gadol v'amula ratzon, ratzon am lihigael. Mitoch ha-ratzon ha-na'ala le-malei etudato ha-gdola she'ina nitenet lid-malei bi-oto gole ve'aluv. We are not just a nation. We are God's chosen people. And we are meant to set up an ideal state. And we are meant to write the last chapter in Tanakh. And Zionism is not just like any other patriotism. Right? The English and the French, with all due respect, they don't have eternal historic roles. That is the shofar gadol. But continues Rav Kook, v'yesh haratzon hakadosh nechlash. Unfortunately, we see, this is in paragraph Dalit, we see sometimes that, especially over the last century, unfortunately most of the Jews in the world are not religious. They're not interested in the great big shofar. They're not interested in the mitzvah of settling the land or geula or
even many of the religious ones.
Sorry?
Even many of the religious.
Yeah, right. An interesting point. Ena itlavut agdola l'rayonot. At least the religious say they want the big geula. Okay, but regarding those who are not religious, ena itlavut agdola l'rayonot elyonim shabakdusha. Unfortunately, most Jews are not interested in holiness. Aval nishar lefachot hateva haenoshi habari. But still, many, many Jews, secular Zionism, that's what Rav Kook is referring to, have a healthy, natural attitude towards their nation. Shegam hu mikoro bikdusha. Hare, who created us with that natural desire to be patriotic? Right, it's the French are proud of France, and it has nothing to do with holiness. But the God planted it within every nation to be proud of their nation. That I thought it's a good example. I've told you the story before, but this for the first time you'll see it inside. Let's jump for a second to source number 3, where Rav Tzvi Yehuda, in his book, there's an interest, and one of the things that I do in Rav Kook's archives is I piece together the different parts of the puzzle. Rav Tzvi Yehuda tells the following story, about which we will see Rav Kook, his father's answer when he's writing back to him. This is in Tzemach Tzvi, page Nun Gimel. And he tells the story, Bo'amdi al tikrat ha'oniyah. He was in Europe to talk with leading rabbis, rabbinical figures, about Zionism, to get them involved in Degel Yerushalayim, excuse me, his religious Zionist movement. Imod mi bnei amasa, I was on the top of the ship, listakel, on board, I guess they call it, listakel begodla v'tifarta shel onia ha'anglit ha'metsuyana she'avra lefanenu. As we were sailing, a big British ship started coming up from the other direction, and everybody was impressed. Histakalti gam bahargashat hakina haluumit asher bifnei tzair ostri mipkidei oniyato ba'ota sha'ah. Remember I told you the story? Yeah, you can see it inside. He said, I was very impressed by the reaction of one of the shipmates, one of the top commanders of the ship, an Austrian, it was an Austrian ship, where he said, I won't try and say this in Yiddish, but you have it here, he said to him, that's not an Austrian ship. You know, everyone was wondering what kind of shirt that. He said, that's not Austrian, it's English. But he said, Aval tire yoter mucharet svinata kitor shelanu, hi harbe harbe yoter gdola. Right? Pretty soon, you'll see a huge freighter, an Austrian freighter, which is much greater than this English ship. So don't be impressed by this English ship. And Rav Tzvi Yehuda wrote his father saying, is that type of nationalism, is that good? And Rav Kook answers him in Igrot HaReiyah, Volume 2, page Resh Pei Zayin, Hakin'ah le'umit asher orarta aleha, that zealousness, that patriotic pride, asher, that you mentioned of this Austrian, that you learned v'lamata mi'o Austri, gamhi ish kodesh. Rav Kook says that is a holy fire. It's natural. And anything which is natural is godly. And God wants us, He wants every nation to be proud of their nationality. Mitzvah la'vi min ha'hedyot. Rav Kook brings a halachic statement that says that there are certain things that you have to bring from hegdish, from holy things, but there are other things that you can bring from secular things. He says, this is an example of something that we should learn from secular people, from this non-Jew. Kinat am tivit, the idea of having national pride. And we've spoken in the past about how natural it is for Jews, even very assimilated Jews. I think, unfortunately, we all know, even from most of our families, assimilated Jews, who nevertheless, they are proud when a Jew wins a Nobel Prize. Mm. Yeah? Or when a Jew wins gold in the Olympics. Or, you know what, it's interesting. Today, on Google, you can find and verify a lot of interesting phenomena. When you just start writing something, you write, somebody mentioned a Austrian composer by the name of Schoenberg. Schoenberg, Schoenfeld, something like that. Supposedly he changed music. And it sounds Jewish, right? Or it could be German. So you start writing, is musician Schoenberg, first thing that comes up, is he Jewish? And you write, is Sandy Koufax, a lefty, Jewish? One of the top things is like Jews must be fixated on the idea of finding out who is Jewish. There's a black basketball player named Zach Levine. Now he's black. And Levine sounds sort of like Levine. And Zach, Zachariah, could be a Jewish name. So just like a lot of Jews, I was not the first to check, to Google, is Zach Levine, it came up, Jewish. And the answer is no. But a lot of people have checked that. And the idea is, I remember as a kid when Mark Spitz won 7 medals in the Tufshin Lamed Bet, the 72 Olympics, right before the Munich Massacre. That's when they got him whisked him out of Munich as soon as possible because he's Jewish. All Jews all over the world were very proud, and rightly so. Right? When we say that 22% of the Nobel Prizes were won by Jews, Rav Kook says, that is the medium shofar. It's not the best shofar, because these guys, when they're proud that somebody's Jewish, they're not thinking that he's a light to the nations, he's a lamed vav tzaddik, he knows Shas, he does all 613. They're not on that level. But Rav Kook is saying that even if you're just proud of your national Zionism, Judaism, that is legitimate. And that's a kosher shofar. And you make a bracha on it. And if that's what's going to bring Jews to the land of Israel, secular Zionism, Rav Kook says, that's kosher. And we make a bracha on it. Well, that's where he's going. Let me just look for a second, and this is another opportunity to see something inside, something that we've quoted in the past, but it's mamash connected with our topic. And this is Rav Kook's letter to the Bezalel Art Institute. This is, I brought for you, on source number 2. This is a letter from 1908, where Rav Kook was asked to write a letter asking people to donate to the Bezalel Art Institute. Now, he was the only rabbi in the world who we know that they might have approached other rabbis. My educated guess is that they probably didn't even bother asking too many rabbis. And Rav Kook, obviously, in his letter, he deals with halachic issues of what you're allowed to chisel to make, statues, so that it's not an idol, and the problems of tzniut, of modesty. He relates to all that, but he says the very idea of having a art institute in Yerushalayim, this is 10 years before the Balfour Declaration. It was Rav Kook already saw where history is going, and he said it's very important. And then he gives a beautiful, at the beginning he starts about talking about pogroms. By the way, in 32 he writes about pogroms, in 1908 he writes about, there were a lot of pogroms. In other words, that was part of life. And he starts about writing about pogroms in 1908, and then he talks about that despite all of the darkness in the Jewish current events, he says there is a glimmer of light in Zion. And then he gives the following, you can go through the article afterwards, but the paragraph, which is Pashut historical, we've quoted this in the past, I don't think we ever learned it inside. This is about Shoshana and her buba. Shoshana and her doll. Does it sound familiar? Have we mentioned this in the past?
Vaguely.
Okay, so let's see it inside. And here, by the way, you see Rav Kook at his, Sifrut, how do you say? His literary best. Right. He really develops. We're talking about a Gadol Ador who doesn't waste a minute and learns 60 dapim of Gemara a day, but he spends a lot of time developing artistically this parable. It's very interesting. And again, I'm not familiar with any other rabbi of Rav Kook's stature. You know, you might find Rabbi Jonathan Sacks or somebody, talking picturesquely. But somebody who is among the top poskim, at Rosh Yeshiva, and here he goes. Hayelda ha-ne'ima v'ha-ahufa. The beloved and the pleasant girl. Habata nechmada, that cute girl. Sha'acharei machala aruka u'memoshechet. After a long and difficult sickness, gam no eshet, and the doctors gave up hope. Achare mar'ah shel panim chivrin kasid, her face was pale for so long. Sfataim kimare hatchelet, her lips were blue. Chom bo'er ketanur, her fever was burning like an oven. Simur or pirpurit smar mori, she was shaking with fever. Hine pakha eneha, she opens her eyes, this little girl, vatiftach sfateh sgurot chotam tsar, and her lips, which were sealed tightly, all of a sudden her lips start moving and open. Hayadaim aktanot mitnoaot betnua shel chayim, her little fingers, her little hands start moving. She is coming back to consciousness. Ha'etzba'ota dakot v'atzachot, her pure, beautiful fingers, holchot ana va'ana, they're dashing around. She's moving unconsciously. How do you say?
Twitching.
Hen mevakshot et tafkidan. Her hands, her fingers, are getting prepared to, once again, be active. Hasfatayim na'ot, kimat shavot l'marei basar. Her lips begin to move. Their color is returning almost to natural flesh. V'kol ka'uv mehen nishma, and she utters a painful little voice. Ima, ima, habuba, tnili habuba, habuba hachaviva, shezez man kabir lo re'itia. She says, Mommy, Mommy, where is my doll? Please bring me my little dolly. My favorite dolly. I haven't seen my dolly in so long. Kol sason v'kol simcha. Everybody is ecstatic. Hakol smechim, ha'av, ha'im, ha'chim, v'chayot, the fathers, the mother, all the brothers and sisters. Gam ha'zaken v'zkena. Also the old people. Shekvar shachachu mirov shanim, gam ha'mishchakei ha'yaldut shel bneihem. All those old people who not only do they now play They don't play with dolls. Even their children have grown out of dolls, and they couldn't care less about dolls, right? Cynical older people. But even they say, Shoshana Ktana Mevakeshet Et Abuba. Hey, Shoshana wants her dolly. Baruch Hashem, Ot L'Tova. This is a great sign. Vaday Kvar Chalatzta Chama. Her fever is coming down. Gam Arufea Karuka Uva Bait V'Mishpacha L'Kachat Chelek B'Simchata. And the beloved doctor, Tachat Asher Ishtatev B'Tzara, who participated so much in Shoshana's sickness, they call him also. Hinei gam hu maskim. Ot letova, he says, wow, this is a great sign. Ha crisis avar b'shalom. Ata ha-tikva mesacheket. Now, our hope is advancing, is smiling. Ki tichye Shoshana. We now have hope that Shoshana, who was unconscious for so long, yes, she will live. Tigdal v'tayif. She will grow up. She will become beautiful. Vatili gveret babanot. She will grow to be a mother, a woman in Israel. Habuba omnam hi ha-she'ela rishona. Yes, this little five-year-old, first thing that she asked for is her dolly, which isn't the most significant thing in the world. So why is everyone ecstatic? Rav Kook is saying, if the Jewish people have been semi-conscious for 2,000 years, and all of a sudden we want an art institute, and we want to go back and build up our army, and build up our language, and build up our agriculture, this is a sign that Am Yisrael is coming back to life, and it should not be degraded. Even cynical people who don't like art, and are not interested in the Bezalel Art Institute, even they, at least be happy that the Jewish people are coming back to life. The Jewish nation is coming back, and nations need art institutes. And we've learned before in Ein Hayah, Rav Kook writes about museums and art museums, and nations need culture. And if we are meant to be a light to the nations, that means that we mean for there to be Jewish movie producers, and Jewish scientists, and Jewish professors, and Jewish Nobel Prize. This is not Bitul Torah. This is Torah Eretz Yisrael. Not every Jew is meant to be a rabbi. And this is the Torah of Rav Kook. And we have to appreciate even Art Institute, which is not secondary. It's probably not even tertiary. It's, I don't know, if it's in 20th or 30th place in the priority of the Zionist movement of national redemption. But Rav Kook says, even this is significant. Aval od tishal v'tishal. Shoshana will ask for more, bigger and better things. Ruchah u'gviata yelchu haloch v'chazek. Her spirit and her body will grow stronger and stronger. Tidroshot gam marpeh. She will ask for more medicine. Gam marak. And then she will ask for hot soup. Good old chicken soup. Gam basar v'lechem. She'll then eat meat and bread. Gam salma. And then she's going to ask for a dress. Right? Again, what? Is having a nice dress such a big important thing? Rav Kook says we're talking about a process. Gam shvisim v'saronim. Eventually, Bezrat Hashem, she will grow up. She will ask for hair coverings. She wants to get married. Gam mora v'et. She'll want a teacher and a pen. Gam sefer v'avodah. She'll want notebooks. V'od v'od. Lemarid varin ke'ele yitzalu hakol. Everyone should be ecstatic. Hazaken vazkena yachgerugil. Ha'ava emeneim dolfot dema sason. The parents obviously are crying for joy. Hey, she asked for her buba. She asked for her dolly. Ha'achim v'achayot atzi'irim. Hey, everybody is saying, and they say to each other, Shoshana ktana, little Shoshana. Hayafa v'nechmada, the cute, beautiful Shoshana. Hey, she asked for her dolly. How great. And Rav Kook goes on to say, who is Shoshana? Shira Shirim calls the Jewish people Shoshana Ben Amakim. It's not a coincidence that Rav Kook used the name Shoshana. And Shoshana has been sick for 2,000 years in exile. And we were not accepted to universities. And we were kicked around and we were made to think of ourselves as dirt, as second class. If you're made to, if you're pogromed and holocausted left and right for 2,000 years, Jews don't respect themselves. And Rav Herzog pointed out, how does the tefillah of the Geulah begin? We say it on Rosh Hashanah. Uvechein ten kavod Hashem le'amecha. Remember the self-respect of the Jewish nation. Hashem, give us self-respect. And then, only afterwards, simcha le'artzecha v'sason le'irecha, tzmichat keren le'david, v'arichat ner le'ben Yishai Mashiach. But how does it begin? It begins with v'chein tin kavod Hashem le'amecha. It begins with Nobel Prizes, and gold in the Olympics, and art institutes, and Rav Kook takes it even further. Just another drop before we start finishing up. Continues Rav Kook, and this is something that we learned about 13 years ago. Source number 5. Haruchaniyut milvadez mamareria, page 234. Haruchaniyut milvada danea gdolim le'in tachlit keshila atzma. Spirituality, when she is really great, he notenet oz ugdula gam lechayim achomriim. When you see a nation that all of a sudden wants to build their land, build their army, have art institutes, simanhu, that's a sign, excuse me, that their spirituality is also good. Right? I've given in the past the example of in all the old age homes when all the old women come down to see the little children from the local day school sing Sivivon Sov Sov Sov, you know, for Hanukkah. And they all come down decked out with their jewelry and their lipstick. And I once asked my mother, you know, what are these old women getting so excited about? You know, I'm not really a good singer. We didn't practice. We're just, you know, they do that in England? Do they bring it up? Or South America? No. I guess it's a Jewish thing. Yeah, an American thing. And my mother is a social worker with geriatrics. She explained to me, now she's a geriatric herself, but she was a social worker with geriatrics, and she explained to me that social workers want to get old people to feel good about themselves. Because if an older person starts walking around in their pajamas, in their house slippers, that's the beginning of the end. They don't feel a meaning to life. If they don't brush their teeth, and that's what Rav Kook is saying, Am Yisrael is coming back to life, and that is something super, super important. It's not the most important thing, right? But that is the second shofar. That's the national, secular Zionism. That's the second shofar. Getting back, now the third shofar. Paragraph number... Dalid. Sorry, hey. Ulam. Yesh gam dargah shlishit. There is a third level of shofar shel Mashiach. And this is also paralleled to the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Shofar katan, pasul, a non-kosher shofar, a pig's shofar. Shetokim ba behechrech, we have no choice, so we blow that shofar also on Rosh Hashanah. Im ein shofar kasher ben imtzav, there's no kosher shofar. Im afsait lavut hakodesh, if the Jewish nation lost their enthusiasm to be the holy nation. V'ratzona geula nala novea mimena. V'im gam hargasha enoshit lumit v'tivit v'ratzon shel chaye lo'om b'chavod gam hem afsu. And what happens if there are a lot of Jews, maybe even most Jews today, that they're not even so nationalistic anymore. A lot of times they're with the Palestinians, they're not even with us. So, how are they going to come back to the land of Israel? If we can't blow the big shofar of religious Zionism, and we can't blow the kosher shofar of kosher animals, that of secular Zionism, but it's still kosher. Here Rav Kook is mentioning the Gemara in Baba Kama Daf Tzadi that says that when a person, it literally means gives his friend a punch in the ear, and he deafens him. But the word is tokea. It could also mean that he blows a shofar in his ear and makes him deaf. And sometimes if somebody gives us a punch in the ear, that will be the shofar that wakes us up. Hey machrichim otanu lishmoa kol shofar. The goyim, the non-kosher animals, they will be the ones who, if we have no choice, they will wake us up. They are the ones who don't let us relax in exile. They're the ones who are going to remind us
who we are
and where we should be. Shofar shel chayat me'ah, that unkosher animal, that pig, nefach l'shofaro shel Mashiach. If people, the Jews, don't listen to the first or the second shofar, the great, the big, or the kosher, at least kosher shofar, which you make a bracha on, they, in the end, there will come the non-kosher shofar. Amalek. Pitalura. Who is Pitalura? I had to look it up on Wikipedia. He, Simon Pitalura, in the Ukraine, and my father-in-law always said that the Ukrainians were a lot worse anti-Semites than the Germans. In 6 weeks, he killed 17,000 Jews in 60 pogroms. Altogether, he killed between 35 and 50,000 Jews just as a chaya.
In the 1600s?
No. 1917. This is at the time of the Russian Revolution. Yeah. Wow. Like, give me a break. This is the 20th century, and we got Chayas, and this guy was such an evil person, but we haven't even heard of him because there have been so much more evil Hitler. And then he mentions Hitler.
Right.
Hitler had just come to power, and Rav Kook says he is the non-kosher shofar. He is the Behemat Tmeah. Ma'orim Ligula, and he will also awaken us to redemption. Umi shelo shama kol shofar arishon, whoever doesn't listen to the great shofar, that's what we want. Tkav shofar gadol, who doesn't listen to the great shofar of religious Zionism. Vav lekol shofar asheni aragil lo ratzal lishmoa ki oznav ne'etmu. If a person's ears are closed to a kosher shofar, right? Even if it's not a ram's horn. Hu yishma lekola shofar hatame, at least he will listen. We pray that he will listen to the third level, the tame shofar, hapasul, bal korcho yishama. But then Rav Kook adds, ulam al shofar ze in levarech. We don't make a bracha on this third shofar. How can you make a bracha on a Hitler? Yes, Hitler brought hundreds of thousands of Jews to the land of Israel, but that was those who didn't listen to the shofar of religious Zionism, or to the shofar of secular, national, healthy, that's a healthy, legitimate, godly, kosher shofar that you make a bracha on. Worst comes to worse, they will come through the third shofar. Kol shu min klala ein mevarchin alav. Mishnah Masech Brachot Perek Vav says that anything which is a curse, we don't make a bracha. And Rav Kook finishes off and says, that is why we pray that all the Jews should come back to Eretz Yisrael based on the shofar gadol lecherutenu. Shofar sheba mitoch omek kedushata shel nishmat Yisrael. That comes from the depths of the holy soul of Israel. Not just the soul of Israel. Soul of Israel, secular Zionism, it's also kosher. But that should come from the holy soul. Mitoch kodesh kodashenu va'az te'agula shlema. It should come speedily in our day.